Culture. Backstory. Art and Mammon. A row over sponsorship betrays childish misconceptions about money and power.
Try as he might, Joe Biden struggles to restrain Benjamin Netanyahu. So it is doubtful that a British literary collective can have much sway over Israel's prime minister. But though the group may not halt the war in Gaza or mitigate climate change, its other avowed mission, it has performed one useful service. It has exposed the deep misconceptions that often feature in clashes over cultural findings about power, morality, and the exigencies of art. The collective Fossil Free Books, that's FFB, has set its sights on Baillie Gifford, a Scottish asset manager, which until recently sponsored 10 literary festivals in Britain. The firm, Charge the Activists, invests in fossil fuel producers and companies tied to Israeli security. Solidarity with Palestine and climate justice are inextricably linked, FFB questionably maintains. Their convoluted strategy involved pressurising the festivals and urging authors to withdraw from them in the hope of pushing Baillie Gifford to divest from these holdings. Disruption and escalation were promised. Cue protests, cancellations and a social media pile-on. The upshot is that Baillie Gifford has indeed divested from the festivals. After this year, it will no longer sponsor any, nor the associated programmes for children that were its charitable focus. Three galleries and counting will forgo its help too. When the Hay Book Festival, Britain's most prestigious, cut ties with the firm, FFB crowed, "This announcement shows the power we have when we unite." This statement is accurate. The episode shows exactly the sort of power such campaigns have and the kind they don't. The butterfly effect does not apply. Boycotting a book festival in Wales will not prevent extreme weather events, nor drive back Israeli tanks to their barracks. These antics cannot force Baillie Gifford to dispose of any holdings, since it can do that only on its customers' say-so. Rather than damaging its brand, the fuss has shown that it prioritises clients' interests. None has withdrawn their money. The activists do, however, have the power to hurt Britain's book festivals, which must cobble together funding at a time of shrinking state subsidy. Some may have to put up prices for punters, others may fold. Perhaps that is a sacrifice worth making to achieve what FFB calls a literary industry free from fossil fuels, genocide and colonial violence. This smells like activism aimed less at global warming than the warm glow of moral smugness, more concerned with seeming good and feeling good than doing it. In a second misconception, the likes of FFB fail to face the moral realities of a globalised world. By any sane measure, Baillie Gifford is no villain. Only 1% of the £225 billion, that's $287 billion, it manages, is invested in fossil fuel producers. It invests far more in green technologies. As for its alleged stake in Israeli apartheid, occupation and genocide, it mostly consists of shares in tech giants like Amazon and Nvidia. The idea that any investment outfit, or indeed any person, could sever every remote and indirect link to fossil fuels or Israel, an important tech hub, is an adolescent fantasy. British authors ought to know that. Their books are sold on Amazon and in Waterstones, a bookshop chain owned by Elliott, a hedge fund that trades oil. In a spider's web of global connections, moral lines and prohibitions are bound to be drawn imperfectly. That is one reason to hesitate before imposing yours on others. The third delusion is that pristine art and filthy mammon can ever be separate realms. Like everyone else, writers and artists must make ends meet. They have always made compromises to do so, whether in blithe ignorance, embittered hypocrisy or emasculating gratitude. In bygone eras, they relied on patrons, from Roman emperors to the feudal overlords and corrupt prelates of the Renaissance. "I should be employed in greater things," William Blake groaned in 1802 as he churned out hack work for a benefactor. In the modern age of mass literacy and commercial entertainment, the moral hazard has been dispersed rather than eliminated. Now the compromises are over how much creative folk charge, which fads they pander to, which middlemen they employ, and so on. Even today, some artistic endeavours tend to require munificent patrons. These include full-scale opera, museum construction, and book festivals. Artists who repudiate support from the likes of Bailey Gifford are naive about power and childish about morality. More than that, if it's purity they covet, they are in the wrong business.